CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Things are happening. Well, at least they should be happening. I mean, it's Monday morning. If you're not going to make things happen on a Monday, then what is wrong with you? I mean, really, you wait till Tuesday to make things happen? Isn't that what hairdressers do? They usually take Mondays off, right?
And restaurants, usually.
Restaurants and hairdressers. So unless you're in the restaurant or hairdressing business, then you better get going today. You've got no excuse. You've got to make things happen. Morning, Mash. Morning, Ass. That sounds quite fun. It's Gareth Ash. Gareth Ass and Mash. How do you like that?
Yeah.
You know, you like that?
No better way to start your morning. Yeah, it's some mash and ass.
I like it a lot. Lord.
We went straight there.
Hey, everybody. Here's a little... Why don't you help yourself to a little mash and ass on Monday morning first thing? That's what you got to have. All right.
Welcome to my condo.
Yes. Now, listen. There's a bit of a like whiny noise on the line, but it's fine. What can we do? I mentioned the other day that I watched a little bit of Real Housewives of Cape Town, which only once. I don't judge me yet. I watched one episode, and I watched 20 minutes of it, and I'd had enough. But I tried. I really did. I persevered. I tried. Now I know Simpiwe was pleased that I'd seen it. Because she also had seen the promo, but she said she's not going to watch it either. I wonder if anybody secretly is watching that show and not telling us. Because there are people who, you know, they have these weird proclivities. They like a certain thing, but they don't want everyone else to know that they like a certain thing. And I wonder who watches, you know, because, I mean, we know, for example, there are people who love those true crime things, like you, Leanne, you love those.
Mm-hmm. I love them too.
But you see, I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Ah, you see.
I think the types of people who watch it are people who also want to be on the show. So other housewives in Cape Town.
Oh.
They're probably like, well, I'm richer than her. I'm more beautiful than her.
Or, yeah.
You know, I do less work than her.
I mean, that I would guess then that's quite a small pool of people. I mean, you're not going to get tons and tons of people then, are you? It's not going to be a fortune.
No.
Yeah. So... I'm trying to kind of work out what their target audience might be then. It can't be a lot of people. Because I can't see how anybody who doesn't have like tons of money or fakeness going on in their lives would watch that show because it would upset them. I mean, you don't want to be shown how poor you are compared to like these bitches. Do you?
We still do it though. We read magazines. We look at skinny models online.
Yeah.
Again, this is why I like TikTok. Like right. And subscribe.
Oh, yeah. Like and subscribe, everybody. That's exactly right. You have to like and subscribe. Otherwise, we go crazy. And otherwise, I will lose my job. I will cease to have a job because without these algorithms working for you in the background, you just don't matter. Mm-hmm. You cease my to be important.
Yeah, absolutely. My thing with these housewife series is that they really don't have a direction here in South Africa. It's just, oh, her bag is fake. My bag is real. Oh, where does she live? Nobody knows. Their fights are quite pointless. I do watch the American ones, though. So your Atlanta, I actually have been watching those for years. And I was ashamed of it for some time until I actually came out to some of my friends about it that, hey, so I'm actually a real housewives. Atlanta, New York, Beverly Hills, you name it, I'm on it.
Right.
And they were like, us too, actually.
Oh,
like,
so there was
the
no
reason why we're...
Then there was no shame because you all were in the same boat.
Yeah, but then we actually discussed it more in detail and we found out that we aren't watching it for the money. We aren't watching it for the glitz and glam.
Right.
We're watching it for the drama, to see the kind of fights the rich are having. Are they having fights like we are having? Are they fighting over ciders? At the bar or something.
But the problem I have with it is that, as you say, the little bit I saw is they're making up reasons for them to dislike each other because you could see,
yes.
You know, and typically South African, they're like, oh, no, we don't want to fight on the camera. I've got nothing to fight. And what if they think that it's a race thing? Because that's always everyone's biggest fear here in this country, right? So the white girl, the black girl, or whoever else doesn't want to fight with the white girl or black girl, depending on who she is, because otherwise it's going to look like a race thing. And in this country, the cost of that is much higher. Plus, mm-hmm. they don't really have anything to fight about because they're all in the same boat. They've got money. They are, they're all like, they don't care about the petrol price and the shit that we care about. So they fight about dumb shit, which this, I think the producers have put in the script so that there's something for them to talk about. They really don't have anything to say, to be perfectly honest. That's the problem.
Pardon my ignorance, but do they actually live together?
No. They live in their own houses, which they're supposed to be like mansions and these really fancy, and they all look the same. I mean, this is something we spoke about just the other day when it comes to cars and design in general, remember? And we were saying, oh, well, it all looks the same. It all looks like, you know, one person has been designing everybody's logo, everybody's house, everybody's car. They all look exactly the same. None of them really have any individual style of their own. They just spend money on stuff they think is nice. And these days, even if you have lots of money, there are only a few shops and they all sell more or less the same shit in the same colors. So all their houses look the same. They all drive sports cars of some kind or variety, but they're things that you've seen already. And it's not, it's like the Real Housewives, but it's like the cheap version. I hate to say it, but you know.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. The drama is so low level compared to the American series. The American series, it's like, you slept with my husband and you did this and you did like that. Real... And how dare you judge my mothering and all that kind of stuff.
There's real beef.
It's just, there's real beef compared to here where it's just so nonchalant and it's like they're just picking stuff to fight about. Oh, your teeth are fake. It's like, okay, so what?
all of their teeth
fake?
All of their teeth is fake. So I got to start off with this. Have you guys noticed a huge increase, talking about fake, a huge, huge increase in spam emails?
No.
Not really.
I have seen...
What sites have you been visiting, Gareth?
No, it's not... It's a good question,
Leanne.
This is like fake emails from SARS or fake emails from banks, or it's always financial stuff.
Oh, yes.
So you must have noticed an increase in this.
I still get a lot of those. Your surname has inherited £300 million. I still get those every now and then.
Oh yeah, those.
But also, I think I've got quite good at weeding them out. You know, I've put my own algorithms on my email systems.
Have
and
you
block numbers and yeah?
Okay,
I'm private of that.
Well,
same here. I have quite a bunch of spam blockers and stuff like that.
Rules.
So they get weeded out quite often. I check the spam blocker like once a year.
Yeah.
What's been blocked?
I just have to tell you, I've noticed a massive increase. And I think it's because people are so desperate for money now. They'll look for it and try and get it anywhere they can. So even the scammers are like, oof, we got to make more, you know, we got to make more happen quicker. Though we're just not fast enough on this stuff. And I think they're feeling the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The spammers are feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
Noticed
well,
a huge
as you
increase.
Know, I'm very good at selling things on Marketplace or Gumtree.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm also very good at weeding out the scammers.
Yes.
And just this morning, I had a notification that someone was interested in something. And then Gumtree have put together a little guideline on scamming.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, that'll be interesting. Open that up. And it's about three lines. And it just says, make sure it's face-to-face in a public place. Don't accept anonymous, pay options like PayPal. And don't give over the goods until you've got the money.
Right.
I'm like, this could be so much more interesting. Why don't they teach people about the Nigerian scammers? Why don't they go more in depth? You know, I could share loads of experiences with them. I mean, the fact that if somebody's profile picture is an oil rig, you know, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
If it's a black dude in the picture and his name's like Simon Garfunkel, it's a red flag.
Yeah. Simon Garfunkel. Oh, that's terrific. Yeah, look,
absolutely.
I think that a lot of this stuff is just it. You have to go through it to know what you're dealing with, and that's why it would be useful to have a lot of these people who have been scammed to write like little advisories, even if it was short little paragraphs, so that everyone could take something out of that.
But my thing with being scammed is there's always red flags. No matter how good the scammer is, there's always red flags. And some people just choose to ignore it. I don't know if they're desperate. But
people
I
are like that.
People who get scammed.
They like that in relationships too. I mean, you can raise a forest of red flags around them and they'll be like, oh no, but I love him. He's real.
I love him. I can change him.
Yeah. I can change him, yeah.
Okay, Bob exactly. The Builder. Yeah, exactly.
Right. You can fix it.
Yeah.
All right. How was the weekend, you two? What did you get up to?
My weekend was quite eventful.
Sounds like you've got a story.
Yeah. I have a friend. I have a friend who lives in my estate, and this person, we've been friends for quite some time now, you know, and every now and then, I mean, like maybe once a month or maybe twice a month, we just hang out, you know, because I'm barely ever home. But when I am home, it's like, oh yeah, let's hang out for a second. You know, I'm free.
Right.
And yeah, get a bottle of wine. And yeah, so that's always fun. Do that at least once a month or so. And cool, this past weekend, we're like, oh yeah, I'm available. You're available. Let's hang out. Let's see how things go. And then great. So we decide to hang out. And while we're hanging out, my thigh starts getting touched. And I'm like, hey,
whoa,
what's happening?
Oh, hello.
What is happening?
Oh, wow. Okay, this story is getting a lot more exciting a lot quicker than I thought it might. Shit. It's
getting a bit too crazy for me. Ooh. So I was like, I have to go.
Oh, well, you were at their place.
Yeah, I was at their place. So thank goodness I'm just like a few blocks away. So I was like, oh, I have to go. So let me just, you know, run away. Let me just escape. But it got me thinking, how do you gently friend zone someone? Because I didn't realize this whole time that this person was into me.
Yeah, that's
especially
tough.
If you kind of live close to each other, you know that you've got to see that person again and again. Mm.
It's too awkward.
Try not to make it awkward.
And you can't let it get worse, because otherwise it's going to make living in the same area intolerable, especially in the same estate. It's going to make it so difficult for you. So you actually have to hit the nail on the head with this one and go like, hey, listen, send the person a text. Say to them, hey, you know, what happened the other night? I know it's not a big deal, but I'm not into you or whatever. Okay. I mean, like, you got to find some way to let the person down slowly, but Jesus, I don't know how you want to play the asexual card. You want to do that?
I've used that card quite a lot, Ian.
Have you?
I have.
You have?
Times. Yes, I've used it quite a number of times. So there was actually quite a span of time where I was completely single. I wasn't seeing anyone at all. It was actually a 5-year period. And in that 5-year period, that was always my card, all the time. It works like a charm. Everybody leaves you alone. Nobody even bothers with you. And you do get some insults. They'll be like, wow, okay, huh, what a waste. But I'm like, okay, great. I guess then that's the case. But it makes me happy. It makes me happy.
Well, have you used this asexual card, Leanne?
I don't have to. Look at me.
What does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean?
I mean, it's been a long time since anybody's put their hand on my thigh, and I've had to make an excuse.
Good for you, Leanne.
To wipe the cobwebs away.
I just don't put myself in that situation anymore, you know?
Oh, so you've totally given up? I mean, what happened to the Leanne Moll who used to sing Someday My Prince Will Come? Every day. You remember that?
Yeah, no.
She's gone?
I definitely think, no offense, guys, but I think I've had my full of guys.
Oh, wow. You're going to try girls?
If I had to go anyway, I think it would be that.
So you
I'm thinking more and more along those lines.
Oh, wow. All right. So you might go for the girls. That's the best possible chance. So Someday My Princess Will Come. Is that it?
Could be.
Wow, have you really thought about this, or are you just saying this for a reaction?
Well, I mean, I've experienced both before.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I I'm not seeing men's attitudes change fast enough. That's my song.
All right, here it goes. Here she goes. Your princess will come. All right, well, I can't go through the whole song. We'll probably get kicked off of YouTube just for playing that 5 seconds of it. Corona's Boring says, trisexual. Someone so desperate for sex, they'll try anything.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds terrifying, actually. I actually know someone like that, by the way. I do know someone like that. And I've actually asked them some questions.
Who's so desperate that they'll do anything?
They'll do anything. I've actually asked them, like, okay, we were at like a get together and we were so fascinated by this. And I was so fascinated. I kept asking him, so basically, you've never turned on a girl. He's like, no, hey. So I was like, okay, even what if you're not like attracted to her?
Yeah.
And she approaches you. Yeah, I'll still yeah, hit that.
Really? So, like, so he prioritizes the actual human connection can be the opposite of superficial. He can be totally open to what they look like, even if they're not, like, maybe he doesn't even have a type in this case.
He's just open to a human being at this point.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I've never felt like that before. Doesn't tick the boxes. Yes. I'm just not interested. Sorry. I'm superficial as fuck. There's just no
way. I
actually
thought of you last night, Gareth. I was watching reruns of Ugly Betty.
Oh, yeah.
With Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Yes.
Ooh. Isn't she one of your, like, ultimate...
Oh, I loved her. No, well, I mean, obviously, in the good old days, I mean... She ended up with what's that guy's name? The dude from George of the Jungle. Cooper or some Brendan Cooper, is it?
Brendan
something.
Did she?
Yeah. She ended up with
Fraser.
Him. Brendan Fraser. She ended up with him.
Oh.
And I think
I didn't know that.
But she was with John Stamos for a while, who used to be in Full House.
Which is why she has the surname.
And is the drummer from the Beach Boys, the current Beach Boys band. But he and she broke up, and now she's with this Brendan Fraser dude. And I don't know. I mean, like, maybe it was just a bit of a thing around the X-Men outfit, that blue thing that she used to, you know, she used to wear that bodysuit and nothing else. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's funny how things change. Like, also, Charlize Theron used to be on my absolute, like, all-time favorite list. But I think, look, I know I'm no oil painting either. And I know I haven't improved necessarily with age, right? So I'm totally aware of all of this. Before anybody says, but you're such a hypocrite. Who the fuck do you think you are? Like, you could choose. Like, this is a fantasy, everybody. So let's just remember the difference between fantasy and reality is that this is what goes on in your head. When you think anything's possible, I do not for a second believe that Charlize Theron would fly across from America to come here to have a relationship with me. I'm not a fucking idiot, all right? So let's just clear that up straight out. But I'm not that much into her as I was before. Probably also because she's got this weird thing where she's, like, let her, I don't know, 6-year-old decide what gender she is. And she seems to be one of those, like, Hollywood... woke mums who's, like, trying really hard to be best friends with her daughter and reestablish the parent-child relationship in a different way. And that's kind of put me off a little bit, I'll be honest with you. So both of those women are no longer...
Well, she's developed a personality.
Who Charlize has?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't come across as being sort of highly opinionated about anything except violence against women. But, you know, now that she's got life experience, she's developing a personality.
Oh, I don't like my women with too much opinion. You know, they must...
that's one of the reasons why... that's one of the reasons why my first marriage didn't work.
You had too many opinions?
Between the ages of 21 and 30, I grew a personality.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, people, how dare you have a personality?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people don't like that. Oh. If they marry a Hausfrau and... they marry this girl who'll do everything that she's told and just be, you know, good, well-behaved and devoted, obedient wife, then they suddenly start getting a bit scratchy when they're like, oh, this woman has opinions. It's so annoying.
And it's something that we actually argued about in the office last week.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how the kind of partner every man wants, you know, in a woman. And some of the guys in the office, not going to name and shame, say that they don't like women having a say in a relationship. They like having all the say. And that is why they actually work so hard, just so that they always keep ahead financially of their girlfriends or wives even.
This is a dangerous road to go down, you know. I don't even think we're prepared for this discussion, because there are so many complicated things that come into play here. Yeah. But one of the things that I've noticed, and which doesn't get a lot of press, is that men have to be successful in order to be attractive to women. I mean, they have to. No girl in the whole world, no matter how good looking a guy is or how kind and caring he is, if he is a total loser for more than, you know, 5 years, 10 years of his life, there's no way she's going to put up with that very long. Just, I say 5 or 10 years. That means if they met and they got along and it was all perfect, if he doesn't bring home the bacon, if he is not a successful person, he doesn't have ambition, that is the surest way for a girl to lose interest in you as a guy. Whereas if you're a girl, I'm generalizing. Of course,
there's always the struggling artist, you know, the guy who does paintings in his art studio shirtless.
I don't think those
that's kind of attractive.
Well, I don't think those guys have long-term attractive ability.
Prospects.
Because the girls they'll fall in love with the idea of him, but then they'll suddenly start realizing, oh God, I'm going to have to pay for everything. This guy's a loser, you know?
Yes.
And let's be clear about this. There are different things that men and women are into, and different women are into different things, and different men are into different things. So it's not always cut and dried. And these days also, you know, you've got male-male relationships and female-female relationships and people who have thruples and all kinds of weird things. So, you know, nothing's by the book anymore, and that's fine. And I don't expect it to be. I think it's good that humans are figuring out different ways of having relationships. I think it's probably very healthy.
Absolutely.
As long as they're honest about them from the start. And that's also where I think a lot of this stuff breaks down. And it's weird that we should start on a Monday talking about relationships, but it's all your fault, Mash, because that guy who touched you on your thigh, or girl who touched you on your thigh, I didn't even know who it was.
You know, representing.
Well, yeah. That's what happened. You get your thigh touched, and now suddenly we're talking relationships. But I always think that if you are honest, the relationship has a much better chance of becoming something or surviving. If you're dishonest, if either partner is dishonest, if your intentions aren't clear, if your purpose isn't straightforward, there's going to be huge trouble.
But Gareth, the problem with that, though, is that we're living in such a competitive society in terms of dating. It's so competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, when someone's talking to you, they're talking to at least 10 other people. And you have to out as much as possible. And the thing is, all those other people are going above and beyond to stand out. They're lying. They're selling themselves up a bit. So if you come there trying just being yourself, you might not be that interesting, or you might not even have that X factor, as some people like to call it. I mean, I know a guy now who actually likes girls with tattoos. You know, he likes girls with tattoos. And the thing is, every girl he meets has a tattoo in a more and more odd place. So the most recent girl had a tattoo on her chest, and he was like, wow, that's hot. Now he's over that girl, and he's chasing a girl who has a tattoo on her forehead. And I was
child, okay, sure.
You can never win. You can never win. You're always going to be leveled up
always
by someone
chasing.
Else. Yeah, so it's hard to actually just be honest and be yourself in the dating pool. You just have to lie. You have to lie.
Yeah, but
not even lie, but just sell yourself up a bit.
But then don't expect it to last. I mean, you may snag the person for a little while, but ultimately they're going to find out what you are. And what is the point of having a relationship with someone if you're putting up a front? That I don't understand. It's like, if you're pretending.
That is, yeah.
And if you have to... If you have to constantly put your best foot forward and you can't be yourself around somebody, why bother being in a relationship with them? Rather just be single. Rather just date or have casual sex, because that seems to be very possible these days, more than ever before, right? Thanks to all these apps and everything. People are just having casual sex. But if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, don't lie to them. You're going to have a horrible relationship with them. It's going to be so bad for you and for them.
That is true. That is true. I mean,
I don't have all the answers.
So much pressure when you lie.
I certainly don't.
Maybe it's more about withholding certain stuff until later.
Yes, you know, yeah.
You don't just blurt it all out on the first date. So right, you don't
immediately start telling them what your sexual turn-ons are.
What your baggage is.
Well,
or like your history, and you know, you've got to wait for the right moment. And
I mostly had a thing for,
not speaking from experience.
I mostly had a thing for serial killers before I met you, but you know, you're my first non-serial killer.
Yes, no, that is true. I mean, I actually went on a date with someone who told me all their baggage all in one go once upon a time. Mm. And I was so terrified by this. They were telling me, yeah, so, you know, I'm actually bipolar and I'm on like 4 different medications just for that. And I'm on antidepressants and I'm on this. And they just kept going on and on. And for me, it was a thing of this. It's not a problem at all for me. It really isn't. But first date, I'm still trying to get to know you. So that can come later on, but I'm still trying to get to know you as a person. So that can be overwhelming too.
Hey, listen, dating is fun. And I don't believe it should ever be a chore. And if you're just getting to know somebody, the more like you could figure out about each other in that first date, the more exciting the second date will be, and so on and so on and so on. And if you run out of material by the third date, you know that either you're very shallow or they're very shallow, and it's not worth carrying on. But to go into a relationship and to not be who you really are, to start off on a fake premise, you're creating such work for yourself, because then you're going to have to spend, I don't know, date 4, 5, and 6 going back and, when I said that wasn't really true. This is really what I just was so like into you. I didn't want to lose you. And I don't think that's going to work so well.
Hmm.
You know, so,
that is true.
They will not hate you if you're honest with them. They'll hate you if you lie to them. People make this mistake so much of the time. They're like, I want this person to like me so badly that I will tell them I do this for a living, or I live here, or I drive this car, or I do this job, or whatever. And then they find out later on that person wouldn't have given a shit if they'd just told them the truth, because they started to like the person. Which is rare. I mean, if you're going to have any kind of relationship, do that. Sanele says Mash goes on a lot of dates, hey? Mash is not mashing around. Mash dates.
Mash dates.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Often the guys who complain about women being gold diggers are the broke guys. Yeah, that's probably true too.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok about that, and this lady was like, people in the desert don't complain about drowning because there's no water. So why are you complaining about gold diggers if you ain't got no gold?
Donna says, be honest, but don't reveal all of your crazy straight away. Lol. Is that about right, Leanne?
Yeah, definitely.
Hmm. Okay.
Again, you know, I've made those mistakes in the past because I'm pretty much an open book. You know that.
Hmm.
So it's very difficult to withhold stuff. Hmm. You just want to kind of go out there and say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like.
Yeah, let's
but
not
you've
mess
got to
around.
Have patience.
Let's not, we won't fuck with each other until we know what, you know enough. Now let's move on. Let's get onto it. Either we're going to have a relationship or we'll be friends or we'll just have casual sex. But those are the options. Make your choice.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of headlines for this morning. We've got to look at what's actually going on in the news. And this is, for some people, this is their favorite part of the day. For some people, it's their least favorite part of the day. So let's have a look at some of these, shall we? By the way, we've got Dr. Hanan coming up, obviously on a Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Collectomania coming up, which is always good fun. I see that Ivana Trump died of scary. Apparently, she fell down the stairs or something. She's got blunt force injuries to her torso, according to the medical examiner. Everybody found out because Donald Trump put a message out on his Truth Social about his first wife's death. Ivana, of course, the mother of Ivanka and Eric and Donald Jr., and a woman who was really very famous during the 80s for being Donald's wife. She was also a businesswoman in her own right. And just a very sudden and unexpected death. Do we know any details, Leanne?
It just seems, you know, she was found at the bottom of the stairs. So it seems like it was a fall. No one expects any foul play. It seems like an accidental fall.
Right.
She was 73 years old, as we know. It's just that it came as a bit of a shock. And I think to people who follow popular culture and, you know, movies and series, there's a show at the moment called The Staircase. They've bled this thing dry. I mean, you've probably seen it in some form or another. It was first a real life documentary. It was then made into a series as well, which was, you know, played by actors.
Right.
And with that, no one knows what the truth was. Was she pushed down the stairs? Did she fall? You know, what are the circumstances around it? But, you know, apparently if you're about 65 years or older in the US, about 65 out of 100,000 elderly people die as a result of accidental falls. So it is a quite a big cause of, you know, injury related death for people who are older.
And you say there's no suspicion of foul play, but as Steve says, where was Hillary Clinton at the time? I mean, that's a good point. You know how much she hates the Trumps. Could be her. And then another piece of news on someone who died over the weekend, Jesse Duarte, was the ANC's deputy secretary general at the time of her death. She died yesterday or on Saturday. I'm not exactly sure when. But Jesse Duarte, a firm fixture in South African politics for a very long time. And she hopped the perch. Now, I'm never really as sad about politicians as I am about anyone else, but I will withhold being a nasty person, even though Jesse Duarte seems to have been one of the group of people who did quite a lot of damage to this country over the last 25, 27 years that she's been in politics. Anyway, still condolences to her family. And I didn't realize that her real name was Jasmine, and they called her Jessie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely.
What was the cause of death? Wasn't it cancer?
Apparently she had been sick for some time. I'm not sure exactly what she had, but Jesse Duarte, they buried her yesterday because she's Muslim. And they'll probably have some kind of memorial. You know how the ANC can't resist that. It's also a chance for them to propagandize and campaign a little bit. So don't be under any illusion. There will be a lot more from the ANC on this, even if her family are quietly just remembering their mom, grandmother, aunt, whoever she may be, to each of the members of the family. So two suspects have been arrested for the murders of 7 Free State farm workers. You know, we often talk about farm killings and we think, well, it's the farmers who are being killed. But there are often people who are killing farm workers, too. And this is a horrible, disturbing story. Obviously, all murders in rural South Africa are something to worry about, because rural South Africa is what keeps the food going for the rest of us. And that's just from a selfish point of view why we should care. We should always care, because people being killed anywhere, especially in far-flung areas where there are no police and there is very little protection unless you protect yourself, that should be scary to all of us. A country that doesn't work in those places won't work in the better places and in the more urban places. So Free State Police have arrested 2 men in connection with the murders of 7 farm workers. The owner of Lismore Farm near Kestell discovered the bodies of 6 women and a man inside their house on Friday. Police said the victims had been shot. Provincial police spokesperson Brigadier Mutatsi Makele said that an intelligence-led investigation resulted in the arrests of a 22-year-old and 34-year-old. They were arrested on a road just outside Botlokong Township. 2 firearms, a shotgun and a pellet gun, believed to have been stolen from the same farmhouse, were also recovered, with the possibility that one of the firearms could be the murder weapon. For now, it can only be confirmed that the young man who was killed was 17, and the 6 women ranged in ages from 22 to 53. We expect the next of kin to confirm their full names. Just a horrible story. But at least some arrests made, right? We should be pleased about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's happening. Slightly less depressing. Load shedding is likely to be suspended this coming week. So No load shedding this week, woo! Ladies and gentlemen. I mean, right. I mean, aren't we excited when we just have a week without load shedding? So the CEO of Eskom has said that South Africans could breathe a sigh of relief. The power utility looks to suspend load shedding this coming week. He joined Cyril Ramaphosa on an oversight visit to the Tutuka power station in Mpumalanga on Saturday. Following a closed meeting with the president, Dureta told the media several units are expected to return to the grid soon. He added this will add much-needed capacity to the generation side of the business, bringing lights back on. We've got a couple of big units returning, which is positive news. Towards the end of July, the risk will be significantly diminished.
Big units will be significantly diminished
once Kuberg 2 comes on the grid. There's about 920 megawatts that will bring a large measure of relief. South Africans.
I'm going to show you what I bought, actually.
What did you buy? Oh, let's see.
Show and tell.
What is it?
Oh, a big black box.
Is it a big black box? Yes.
It's like a briefcase.
Show us.
And
it's show and tell on a Monday morning with Leanne Moll.
I'm so excited.
Don't get too excited.
Ooh, what is it?
Looks like a DJ.
Yeah, what is it?
What is that? Like a
gas burner.
Yeah.
Ah, a Primus.
Ooh. It's a gas burner, and you put in the side it looks like an aerosol can.
Yeah.
Of gas.
Oh wow!
And apparently lasts for ages. You can cook quite a few meals on it. But it's also with the aim for those people who don't have gas stoves.
Right.
To be able to at least boil a kettle during load shedding, warm up some food, do that sort of thing.
I was at a family braai. It's my dad's birthday today. It's also Madiba's birthday today, by the way, July the 18th. And I was at a family braai yesterday. My brother was like, he's so much smarter about these things than I am. And he has more money, so, you know. He says to me, don't you have a gas stove? Because we were talking about inevitably load shedding. He's like, don't you have a gas stove? So I said to him, no. You've been to my house. I don't have a gas stove. He's like, oh. Rolls his eyes at me. He says, don't you have solar? Don't you have solar? So I said, no, but I'm putting it in. He's like, oh. He's like, don't you have those solar geysers? I'm like, no, I don't have any of this stuff. I'm not. He has all of this.
You should be the older brother and just tell him to shut up.
Yeah, he has all of this shit, and I'm like, oh, all right, I feel like an idiot now. You know, this has become the new way of boasting to each other. My brother and I are not competitive at all, so it's not like that. But I reckon when you go to braais and things these days, people are. They're like, oh, well, when we put in solar, we're superior to you, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
That's the way you boast now.
Yeah.
It's not about how much money you have. It's about how much independence from the grid you have. That's what it is.
Yes, and there's different levels to this. I mean, some people do discuss the gas. Some people discuss, what kind of light bulbs do you have? I have light bulbs that actually save electricity.
Yeah.
I have this. I have a stove that can actually just turn on by itself without electricity. I have, it's just exhausting.
Right.
It's a competition.
So good news, though, that there will be no load shedding likely this week, although they just used the word likely. So they could still do this to us, right? Elon Musk asks to delay the start of a Twitter court battle. Tesla chief Elon Musk has asked the Delaware court to reject a bid by Twitter to put their $44 billion merger lawsuit on trial in September, instead asking to push it back until next year. In a document that was cited by US media, Musk's lawyers accused Twitter's board of directors of wanting to expedite the case. Twitter on Tuesday sued Musk for breaching the contract he signed to buy the tech firm, calling his exit a model of hypocrisy. The suit was filed in Delaware, urges the court to order the billionaire to complete his deal to buy Twitter. So this is like you break up, you know, your boyfriend says to you, I'm not that into you, I've met someone else. And you're like, no, I have a contract, you must love me. It's just such a dumb idea.
Mm.
Anyway, we will see what happens, but they're going to move the trial to February the 13th next year. They cited a whole lot of complexities involved. There's a period of uncertainty threatening the company. Musk's lawyers did not immediately respond to a request for comment, And he has agreed to buy Twitter, or had agreed to buy Twitter at the end of April. But after weeks of threats, he last week tried to pull the plug on the deal, accusing Twitter of misleading statements about the number of fake accounts. You see, I think there's something going on here, and we'll have to find out. Obviously, now that it's going to court, we will find out. We'll find out how much of Twitter, how much of Twitter's fake, which I think is a great thing. Let's discover that. I want to know. You want to know, right? You want to know how many people, supposed people on Twitter who like get outraged about everything, actually bots?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we'll only know now in 6 months' time when it starts.
Right.
But that gives Elon Musk's team plenty of time to dig up dirt and do research.
Correct. It is time now for It's Going to Be Okay with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, who, of course, is our live-in shrink. And he's also head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And we're always pleased to see him. Dr. Hanan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. And I've got to say that this is one of the things that people look forward to every single week. I was talking to someone the other day. I didn't even know that they listened to the show. It's a friend of mine, and she's like, oh, my God, that Dr. Hanan, I cannot do without him. He is keeping my brain connected. I've had all the reasons to flake out and flame out and misbehave and do stupid stuff and feel sorry for myself, and thank God for him. He keeps me on the tracks. So there you go. Even people.
Well, that's great.
People we didn't know we're helping here, Doc. We're helping. So this is a terrific way to start the Monday. All right, so, Doc, this morning we got a message from Melanie, who joins us. She's on the line now, and she's going to tell us what's going on in her story. But, Melanie, you can just explain it rather than have me read it. Nice to have you on the show, Melanie. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for having me on the show. So, I am the oldest sister of three girls. We are a blended family, so I am the oldest one. I'm 45.
Mm-hmm.
The middle one is 40, and the youngest one is 28. So, my father died when I was really young, and he remarried. And, so we are a completely blended family. But since we became one, we never actually had, you know, the term stepsister or anything like that. We've really been, you know, pretty close as kids and everything.
Right.
But now that we're all grown up and living in the real world, it seems like I'm the odd one out. It's just bizarre. It seems like my middle sister and younger sister, they are very, very close. And and I'm the one who's always left out. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what I did wrong, maybe, but I'm very sociable. I'm quite likable. I'm not an offensive person. Sorry, that's the dog barking. And it's quite hurtful when I see, the two of them have gone out on a outing with a family and they post pictures everywhere. And it's really hurtful that I'm the one who's always on the outskirts.
And Melanie, has it ever been any different? Is this something very recent? It's always been like that. What's the history?
Since we all started working and became grown-ups, we all, you know, my sister went overseas for a while. She lived there. So obviously then there's a bit of a distance thing. It makes it a bit harder to stay close and connected. But it's also since my sister's father died. So I think that probably brought them closer as well. But I was always on the outskirts. I was always there offering support, offering help. I mean, if any of them had to call me in the middle of the night, I'm in the driveway before the phone is put down. I'm there like a bear. So I don't know what it is. It's just bizarre. And I've asked my husband if he can pinpoint anything, and we're very close. We very honest, and you know, there's no holy grounds between us. We can talk about anything really. And it's just really hurtful. And I've tried talking to my younger sister about it, and she's like, no, there's nothing wrong. And it's just, it's really hurtful when I see them going out on excursions and outings and having, you know, bras and family bras, and then I'm not there. It's a bit hurtful.
So I know you've spoken to your younger sister, and she says, mm-hmm. no, there's nothing wrong. But have you explained exactly what is making you feel this way, and Have you explained exactly how you want things to be different?
I have, actually. And I've said to them, listen, I'm here to help. I'm here. I am here. And I really don't know what it is. I am a bit of a FOMO probably as well, to be quite honest. It is in my nature. So, but I'm not very active on social media, if that makes any sense. Yeah, and when we do actually hang out together, it is amazing. And then we always say, oh, we should do this more often. And then at the next family event, I am somehow often not included.
Hmm. And when you ask them, why is that so? What do they say?
I just leave it. I'm not one for conflict very much.
So let me highlight a couple of things.
Mm. Yep.
So when it comes to communication, there people make a couple of errors, and I want to highlight a couple of things that you can take into account that might make a difference here. Communication has got two parts. When you're conflicting with somebody, I want you to first take into account the following two elements. Number one, how important is the person to you moving forward, and two, how mature the person is that's in front of you. So how important the relationship is moving forward, and how mature the person is that you're having this conversation with. The more important and mature the person is, the more of your time and energy and investment you have to put into the relationship. The less mature and the less important moving forward, the less time and effort that you want to put in the relationship. So in this case, if you say, you know what, these are my sisters, that term carries a lot of weight. I do see the longevity and the importance moving forward, but they're not mature. Well, the conversation has to be very direct and clear and perhaps even superficial. But if they're more mature, so if you're dealing with two adults, actually having a conversation, a deep, meaningful, insightful, comprehensive conversation is really the way to go. But having said that, when you do communicate, there's two things that I want you to take into account. Number one, when we are engaging conflict, but by the way, conflict is not all bad. Conflict allows us to get onto the same page. Communication has got two parts. The first part is what you call the acknowledgement phase. That is letting the other person understand and know exactly why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. So explaining to them exactly why you're feeling left out. So turning to perhaps the more mature sister. It doesn't have to be the oldest one out of the two, but the more mature sister, and getting them to understand exactly why you feel the way that you do. If you've done that, then we move on to the second part of the communication, which is the resolution phase. And this is, Melanie, where people get it wrong, because they just skip over what do we need to do in order to resolve this issue. And the people skip this one over because they don't want to they don't want to feel vulnerable. They don't want to feel weak. They don't want to let the other person spell out to the other person what they need, but you have to. And the reason why you have to is because you can't expect anybody to really understand what your needs are and what they need to do in order to fix it. So the mistake that people make with the resolution is they talk very general terms. So for example, let's just talk about romantic relationship as an analogy. If my wife turns to me and says to me, Hanan, I need more love, more affection, more intimacy, more care, more trust, more support. My answer is always, great, but what does it mean? Because love to me is very different to the definition of love to you. Kindness is very different to kindness to you. Respect, intimacy, attraction, whatever. Those are very general, airy-fairy terms. So if I ask for love, or if my partner asks for love, I need to define it way more specifically because I'm bound to then get it wrong. So with your sisters being very specific, I want you, again, assuming that this relationship is important moving forward, and two, assuming that you're dealing with a mature person, I want you to spell out exactly what you need. And you might say to me, well, Khran, can't they just understand or know? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You have to spell it out. And you have to be as specific as when you have a Sunday night, a Sunday lunch, I want to be invited. When you go out on a Saturday night or you go out on a Tuesday night with two families, I want to be invited. And then you will see exactly what they are prepared to give and what they're not prepared to give. Because one or two things will then happen. They will say, we'll do it, and they do it. Or they'll say, we can't do it, and they'll negotiate. But I also want to mention one more thing in this relationship with your sisters. The title sisters carries a very heavy weight. It means a lot, like mom means a lot, and dad means a lot, and brother means a lot, or in your case, sisters means a lot. But I want you to understand that each relationship needs to be defined by specific rules, because a sisterly relationship between a pair of sisters, A, is very different to a sisterly relationship between another pair, and perhaps your relationship has shifted a little bit. And what you got from each other perhaps 5 or 10 years ago or 6 months ago is very different to what you can get from each other now, and you have to adapt. But the only way that you will know where you stand is when you communicate exactly what you need. And step one is the acknowledgement. You let them know exactly where you stand and why you feel the way that you do. And step number two is you talk about the resolution. This is what I need in order to make this pink elephant, white elephant go away, in order to make me feel much more a part of the family. Their comeback will let you know exactly what they can and cannot do in this game called being a sister.
So, that makes perfect sense. And I must say, probably with my middle sister, my communication has not been very great. She's a very feisty person. So she explodes very easily. The younger sister is the more mature one. And I have tried to share my feelings with her and just let her know, you know,
listen, Melanie,
that was quite hurtful, or that, yes.
Yeah, you know, you said something just now, and Doc, I think you picked up on this, but maybe I'm going to make more of a big deal of it. You said you're not a conflict kind of person. You don't like to bring stuff up that's uncomfortable or awkward. Or if you want something, sometimes you've got to be that person who stands up for yourself. And saying you're not the kind of person who likes to create conflict, well, it sounds to me like your middle sister wouldn't be afraid to blow up, as you say. So occasionally it'll be all right for you to say what you really feel. And even if it does lead to conflict, at least you'll know where you stand. You know, to sit in the background and hope for things to work out for you when you're not taking an active role in it, it's like throwing the dice and hoping that you're going to get 6 every time.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like it our relationship or our dynamic has gotten to that point now where maybe a blowout is probably not the worst thing to happen. It is.
But Mel, Mel, I want to highlight something. The blowout must be intentional. There must be a reason for it. It mustn't be just a blowout for the sake of letting it blow up. I think if you blow up, even if you have a very robust emotional conversation. In a communication between you and your sisters, it must be done with intent and a reason. There's nothing wrong with having a robust emotion-full conversation with the intention of letting them know where you stand and what they need to do in order to fix it. Because what you will come out of the conversation with is at least some form of data that will help you make the next move much more appropriately and much more accurately. But just to have a conversation aimlessly, just kind of flying this plane, or having a conversation aimlessly and just blowing up for no reason is a waste of time. It's a waste of emotion. It will destroy the relationship. So remember, you want to engage in a conversation, and you said your younger sister is more mature, and I would start there, with the intention of getting data of, one, or them understanding why you feel the way that you do, and two, most importantly, getting data whether they're prepared to shift and adapt to what you need. And one or two things will happen. They are going to, or they're not going to. And if they are going to, then wonderful. But if they're not going to, then the onus is on you to adapt and to change the definition of what it means for you to be a sister to your sisters.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, the communication thing is probably has to be the priority here. And we'll have to see how that one goes.
I hope that helps. Yep. And do give us an update.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we're now all involved, whether you like it or not. So now we care about what happens with your sisters. So we want to know how it goes.
Thank you all so right. much, team. Thanks, Dr. Hanan. That was fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Pleasure, cheers, pleasure, pleasure. There we go. So, Doc, another person with what I mean, most of us would go, oh, well, you know, you could sort this out. It's your sisters. How bad could it get? Sometimes this blood is thicker than water thing doesn't actually apply. And people just expect that everything's going to be resolved. And you have to take an active role, right?
Yeah, always. All relationships are like that. If you don't negotiate them and relationship change the whole time, think about your relationship with your families or your mm-hmm. best friends. They change all the time. They're not the same that they were, you know, a year ago, certainly not 3 years ago, certainly not 10 years ago.
Right.
Everything is dynamic and you have to renegotiate the rules of the game.
All right. Well, that's a hell of a way to start our Monday. Always good to see you, Doc. And we will catch up with you in a week's
time. Nice to see you guys.
Very good. Dr. Hanan Bushkin. And it's going to be okay. And it is going to be okay. Don't let these things get you down. We have lots to still come, including Collectomania and a whole bunch more. We got Ash and Mash. Ass and Mash. I keep fucking that up. Ass and Mash, who are with us this morning. And
Gamash Ass.
Is that your pill reminder, Leanne?
It's the last one.
Oh my
I
God.
Promise.
That's so funny that she's got a little alarm for her pills that she has to take. All right, we'll be back in a moment or two. That's so bad. Stick around. CliffCentral.com, Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.